All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Sa'id, and Sima Haken. With Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of his Nisim and Niflos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem all of that, all of the hostages, bring complete Hatzlacha to Eretz Yisrael and to Am Yisrael. Beautiful dedication. To thank Mel and Karen Ram for dedicating the week of learning in Meretz Hashem, Le'iloi Nishmas, the Ram and Bravo families, Zecha Nishmas, their father, Mordechai Ben Yitzchak, Zechoron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah, and the family in Nacham and Abbas. Of course, as always, we dedicate to the schus of all the Shum, the schus of the hostages, Me'achadosh Baruch Hu, bring them home to their families, to their home, to their land, B'shalom and B'karov, to our soldiers, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless them with incredible and overwhelming Hatzlach. And I will say, I think it goes without saying that we are still reeling, this time in a positive way, from literally seeing all of the Nisim and Niflos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos. Overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming Nisim and Niflos. Halavai, we should be Zocha Meretz Hashem to see those forms of Nisim and those Yeshuas V'Nechamas for many, many, many years to come. So with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, a really exciting daf ahead of us. We've got answers, we've got new questions, we've got solutions, we've got problems, everything and everything and anything that you could want out of life. We just need time. All right, we have time also, Meretz Hashem. Okay, so we'll say, let's go. Today's daf is Mem Zayin 47. We are picking up Meretz Hashem on Mem Vav Amud Beis 46b. Last line on the bottom. Amar Rabba Amar Avuna. So we'll say some very, very interesting case here. Machar li be'elu. So we'll say, watch this. I go over to Reuven, and of course I have money, and Reuven has an object. We'll just call it the sheep, right? And I say to Reuven, sell me your sheep for these. And I point to the pile of coins that are in my hands. Take a look at Rashi. Machar li be'elu, second to last line from the bottom in Rashi. Achas biyado maos. So we'll say, so now this is an interesting case. I go over to Reuven with a pile of money in my hand. And I go over to him and say, Reuven, sell me your sheep with these. And I extend out my palm full of money. And Reuven says, yes, I'll do that. And I both say, just to be clear, what's missing from this transaction, what's missing over here, is the counting of the money, right? So there's no counting of money over here, right? There's Reuven is not saying, okay, well, how much money do you have in my hand? And Reuven is not saying, well, you know, the sheep is $1,000. Is that $1,000? Not $1,000. Let me count out the money. Instead, Reuven just says, yes. What's the halacha? The Gemara says, kana. Kana, the transaction is valid. Look at Rashi, kana. Lokeach achevitz b'maos halalu, v'in echad mehem yachal achzer. They both say, so now watch this. Once I give the money to Reuven, transaction is sealed and neither has the ability to renege. Now, you both say, what is jumping out at this from the beginning? This is money. Right? Generally, we say again, I will say, ma'os einon konos. Money does not affect the transaction. So how is it over here that money is affecting the transaction? Top of Mem Zayin. Now, by the way, even before we get into the how, or we kind of know already how. Well, this guy, we know, how do we know already how? We'll say, this seems to be a case where money is not operating as money, right? When is money operating as money? When does money operate as money? When there's a counting associated with money. In other words, money operates as money when it's clear how much money you're giving and how much money the object costs. When money is kind of being handed over just as a pile, it seems to be operating much more as merchandise than it is as money. There's more than money. So therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, what appears to be happening over here is because I'm holding out a handful of money and Reuven's saying, sure, that'll work. So really, I'm offering merchandise. This is a chalipin. The money's becoming merchandise, and therefore, again, what's happening over here is the way it works in chalipin is once two items are being exchanged, once you go ahead and take possession of one item, the other party automatically goes ahead and acquires his. Top of Mem Zayin, 47. Nebosa, not only that, V'yeshto alav ona'a. There is also ona'a in this case. Nebosa, ona'a, what's ona'a? Well, again, we're going to get into ona'a as well. But ona is the halacha that you cannot overcharge or undercharge by a sixth or more. It's really more than a sixth. There's a machlokis as to exactly what the status of a sixth is. It's a sixth. Now, listen, so what happens if you overcharge, you undercharge by more than a sixth? What's the halacha? The transaction is void. It's void. And by the way, it's automatically voided. Now, there's a shayla of exactly what happens if it's exactly a sixth. Now, what's unique about this statement? Look at Rashi. V'yeshlo v'chaveir alav dinona im eidin b'maos k'dei d'me'achifetz shepech susis. So now watch this. So on one hand, the transaction works, right? So the handing over of the money allows me to acquire the sheep, right? So as soon as I give over the money to Reuven, so Reuven obviously acquires the money, I acquire the sheep, and there is no reversing this transaction. Yet, the transaction itself is subject to ona. So watch this. So the Gemara says, "Kana af agav de lo mashach." So I'll say, so ultimately, again, as soon as I hand over the money to Reuven, I acquire the sheep. Now what's the chiddush in that? I didn't do mashicha. Even though I didn't do mashicha, I still acquire the sheep. The chivon de lo kapid kona dechi chalipin dummy. Because I'll say, since Reuven is not bothering to count the money, he's not accepting the money as money. Rather, he's accepting the money as an object. And therefore, again, as soon as Reuven accepts the money, I acquire the sheep through Chalipin. Through Chalipin. Okay. Now, listen, interestingly enough, V'yeshlo alav ona. Now, at the same time, it is subject to ona. D'machar li be'elu ka'amarle. Because we'll say, now, here's what's interesting. Ona doesn't apply to Chalipin. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. Yeah, no, correct. Ona doesn't apply to Chalipin. Ona is a din by a sale, not a din by an exchange. Because I will say, remember again, by Chalipin works even by two items that don't have matched values, right? We do Chalipin like this all of the time. So again, so interestingly enough, on one hand you're saying the transaction works. Now, in order for this transaction to work, the money can't be operating as money. The money has to be operating as merchandise. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, on one hand, it's a chalipin. On the other hand, you're telling me that it is subject to ona, which means that what? It's a sale. It's a sale. So also, so this transaction has elements of chalipin and elements of a sale. It's so incredible. So the Gemara says, so v'yeshto alav ona d'mechar li kebe'ilu ka'amrale. Good. So also, because remember again, I just want to point out, the lashon of the transaction is, I take my handful of money, and what do I say to Reuven? What do I say to Reuven? Sell me your sheep with these. So I'm using the lashon of mechira. Yet again, the transaction ultimately again is a chalipin. So really very interesting. So what's unique about this? What seems to be unique about this case is that transactionally, you could create a hybrid model which essentially draws off the benefits of both types of transactions. So on one hand, you could say, sell to me with these, holding out the pile of money, and assuming that Reuven does not count the money, we've got a chalipin, which is great. Because now, by the tendering of the money, I go ahead and acquire, right? As soon as Reuven takes possession of the money, I acquire the sheep, no backsies, right? We're done. On the other hand, because I use the lashon of mechira, there is price protection. There is price protection. So therefore, if it turns out more than a sixth, less than a sixth, the transaction is void. Interesting. Okay. Rabbi Abba, Rav Abba Amravuna, Machar li be'elu, kana ve'in alav ona. So I would say, Rabbi Abba said name Ravuna, no. This case works. You're right. And if I walk over to Reuven with a handful of money, and I say, Reuven, halacha l'maisa, acquire, right? I want to acquire your sheep with these. And Reuven doesn't count the money. As soon as Reuven takes the money, I acquire the sheep, chalipin. However, there is no ona. There is no ona. All right, so let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Pshita, damim ve'in makpir aleim ha-kaminon dekani kechalipin. Dekechalipin damu. So now watch this. So now, again, Rav Huna's, what's Rav Abba's logic, right? Why ultimately, again, would Rav Abba say that Rav Abba in the name of Rav Huna say that there is no ona in this case? So we'll say his logic will be simple. Either you are chalipin or you're not chalipin. If you're chalipin, then there's no ona. Ona is a din in mechira. If you are not chalipin, then it's a nechira. Then the ma'aseh again, there is no ra. But the problem is that what? The transaction doesn't work. So the fact that the transaction works, therefore, by definition, you have to give up on the possibility of onda. Okay, fine. So we'll say that's done. That's done. Now watch this next piece. So pshita, domim ve'in makbid alein, ha'karmin and dekani dekechalip in demo. So we'll say, so what's at the foundation of this case over here? What's at the foundation of this case is, you could relegate money to the status of merchandise. How do you do that? At least we think you could do that. Whether or not you could actually do that, we'll see. Right? But you could relegate money to the status of merchandise. How do you do that? By not being makbid on the value of the money. Right? So I walk over to Reuven with a handful of money. I say to Reuven, you know what? Do me a favor. Sell me your sheep with these. And Reuven, I'm not identifying an amount. Reuven's not identifying amount. In that case, what's clear? No one really cares about the value of the money. So when you have money that no one cares about the value of, then halach lamaisa, that could work as merchandise for chalipin purposes. That's called damim ve'in makpid aleihem. There's money, but no one's particular about the value. I take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. So Pshita lan damim ve'im makbid alein. Rashi says nasan lo maos o chefetz bishvil chefetz acher betoras damim velo makbid alein liros im yeshdan kidei shavyon. So this is a case where money is being tendered, but no one's really looking as to what the value of the money is. Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa tikani dikechalipin damu tikani chalipin damu. It works because again it's chalipin. It's like chalipin. Watch this. Chalipin umakpit alehen mai. All right, so let's say, so this is an interesting case. Let's say we have a more classic case of chalipin, where again, I'm giving one object for another. Right, so let's say again, I have a sheep, right? I have a sheep, Reuven has a cow, I want to give him my sheep for my cow, right? So in a classic case, Reuven would take my sheep and I would acquire his cow. Let's say again, Abosai, before I give him over the sheep, I get a little bit particular about the values of everything. Take a look at Rashi. Chalipin umakbir alehen, nosan lo chefetz b'chefetz taras chalipin, liknos kidin kinyon, shekonin besudar, v'zeh makbir liro sheheh sudar shove alkach. So we'll say, so now let's say I'm exchanging an item. Right? So now let's say I'm giving Reuven, or for that matter again, let's keep it easy. I'm giving Reuven gold. But not gold coins, not dinarim. I'm giving him a block of gold, a bar of gold. Right? Why? Because I want to acquire his ox. So I'll say, so now, but before I go ahead and I start giving it over, I start thinking about, well, you know, the gold is worth $1,000. Is the ox worth $1,000? I get very caught up in the value of things. So the Gemara says, what's the status of that transaction? Is that chalipin, or is that money? Look at Rashi. Mai. So the Gemara says, "Mi kanu tarvayi b'mashicha dechad minayu odilma hoil vehikpid alehen harihin kidamim v'havidei maos ve'in konos achim shochem hashini." You want to see? Here's an interesting shaila. See, we just got finished talking about the idea that if you have money and you don't really care about the value of the money, right? So the money could become merchandise, affect Mashiach. What happens if you're engaged in what would look like a typical chalipin case, right? So therefore, again, I'm using merchandise for merchandise, but I'm hyper-focused on the value of the merchandise. Does that change the object into money? If it changes the object into money, then what are both saying? Then if it's money, if it's mos, doing Mashiach on one of the items doesn't automatically acquire the other one for the second party. You hear the Shaila? It's such a fascinating idea. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adavar Ava. So Tashma, let's analyze. Hari Shahaya Tofes Paraso. If I had my cow, Va'omed, Ubacha Vera Va'amar Lo, Parascha Lima. So I said, so what happens? I'm standing in the marketplace with my cow. Reuven comes over to me. He says, why do you have a cow? L'chamor ani tzarech. Right? I need a donkey, not a cow. Yesh li chamor. So I say, no problem, Reuven. You're in luck. I have a donkey. Sha'ani no sein l'cha. I'm happy to go ahead and exchange my donkey. right, for you, for something of yours. Right? Parascha bekama kach, sorry. So I said, Ruven, how much is your cow? Parascha bekama bekach vekach. Chamorcha bekama bekach vekach. Mashach bal hachamor es hapara. Velo hispik bal hapara limshoch es hachamor. Ad shemes hachamor. Lokana bal hachamor es hapara. So the Gemara says, "Shemamina, chalipinu makpin alein lokana." So I say, "Now watch this." Okay, so let's put this case together again. I'm standing in the marketplace. The Rebbe says the introduction to this case doesn't really seem to be all that necessary. It's just interesting. Okay, I'm standing in the marketplace with my cow. Reuven comes over to me. He's like, "Why are you standing here with the cow?" Right? This is a very Jewish case, right? Why are you standing here with the cow? Right? I need a donkey. I say, "Okay, just asking for a donkey." Right? I have a donkey as well. So then the Rebbe says, "What happens over here?" We start getting into values, right? I have a chamar, right? I ask Ruvain, so you want my donkey? I'll take your cow. So tell me again, how much is your cow? How much is your donkey? So I say, so we agree. Mashach bala chamar es hapara. So what happens now? What happens? I go ahead, and I do mashicha on Ruvain's cow. And after I did mashicha on Ruvain's cow, by the time I did mashicha on Ruvain's cow, what happened? So again, Reuven didn't get a chance to do mashicha on my chamor before the chamor died. So both say, what's the halacha? Lo kana bala chamor asapara. So it turns out that I did not acquire Reuven's cow. I will say, so even though I did mashicha on Reuven's cow, I didn't acquire it. Why not? Shmamino chalipin umakbid alein lo kana. What do you see from here, both say? What do you see from here? That when you make a chalipin case, right, into values, right? So we're no longer exchanging objects, but rather, again, we're hyper-focused on the value of the respective objects. Then what, Rabbi say? Then what? Then halacha l'maisa, it's no longer chalipin, and that becomes money. That becomes mos. So Rabbi say, so remember again, wherein lies the distinction between a money case and a chalipin case? So we know, in a chalipin case, as soon as one party does mashicha on one object, the other party automatically acquires the other object wherever it is. In a money case, once I give money, that's very nice, but I don't acquire the object with money. I only acquire the object when I do mashicha. So I'll say, it appears to be from this case over here that because Reuven and I got so into talking about values, that's what? That Allah said, this is not mashicha, or it's not chalipin, I should say, and it's money. So what do you see from here? From here you see that the same way that you could take money and turn it into merchandise, right? And affect chalipin. How? By not talking about the value of money. So Tzibosa, you could take a case of where two people are swapping items, turn that into money. How? By being hyper-focused on the values. Incredible. So Gemara says, no. Amarava, atu chalipin bishoftani askinan. Tzibosa, let's be clear. Do you think we're talking about chalipin with fools? Tzibosa, chalipin is always about values. I will say all transactions are about values. In other words, the Gemara is trying to make this look like that when you're dealing with money, it's all about the value of the item being purchased, right? And when you talk about chalipin, no one cares about the values of the items being exchanged. The Gemara says that's unequivocally false. Everything is about value. Everything is about value. Listen to this. It was Lashon over here. So interesting. Amarava, atu chalipin b'shuftani askinon. People say, ultimately, again, are we talking about chalipin being performed by fools? The lokapti, who don't care about the value of the items they're exchanging? So people say, of course. In other words, people say, now, the difference is chalipin may not be explicit saying, I'm exchanging an ox that's worth $1,000 for a cow that's worth $1,000. But of course, we'll say it's understood that when people are utilizing the mechanism of chalipin to effect an exchange, bepashtos, they are exchanging what? Exchanging what? Like valued items. Now again, I want to be clear, it doesn't have to be that way. But to think that the concept of chalipin is divorced from values, that's foolish. That's foolish. So we'll say, so what's the case that we just had before of where I'm exchanging my donkey for Reuven's cow? What happened over there? To which the Gemara says, Vahacha, Maaskin, Da'amarle, Chamor, Bepara, Vitala. Ah, I was supposed to say, so there's more to the story. Watch this. What I'm saying is like this. Here was the case. I say to Reuven, I'll exchange for you. I'll give you my donkey for your cow and a sheep. Right? I'll give you my donkey for your cow and a sheep to be named later, right? So in other words, so the Maisa, there's two parts of the transaction. So I say, now watch this, and what happened? It's actually a very interesting case. So this is our agreement. We're going to do chalipin. I'm going to give you my donkey, and you're going to give me your cow and the sheep. And what did I do? Umashach es hapara va'adayin l'mashach es hatala to the havele mashicha ma'alya. Oh, so Rabbi says, now the case makes a lot more sense. So I say to Reuven, I'll give you my donkey in exchange chalipin for your cow and the sheep. So what did I do? I do mashicha on Reuven's cow, but I didn't do mashicha on the sheep. I didn't do mashicha on the sheep. After I did mashicha on the cow, so what happened? My donkey died. Transaction canceled. Transaction canceled. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because remember again, the way chalipin works is when one party does a full mashicha. So again, for me to do mashicha for on my part would require me to do mashicha on Reuven's cow and sheep. The fact that I only did it on the cow and not the sheep means the chalipin didn't happen. Because the chalipin didn't happen, therefore, again, when my donkey dies, the donkey is my loss, right? And there was no mashicha, there was no chalipin. Okay, incredible. So the Gemara says, "Amar Mar, Machar li be'elu, kana v'yeshla lavana." So what says, now watch this. Let's go back to what we said before. Right? How did this whole day start? So remember again, I go over to Reuven with a handful of money. I say to Reuven, right, sell me your cow with this money, with this, right? Reuven doesn't count it. I'm not putting forward an amount. So what's the halacha? The transaction works. The transaction works. Now, let's say, at least according to the first version of the Gemara, the transaction works, but there is a no. There is the din of overcharge. Now, let's say, and I remember again, why is this unique? Because on one hand, you're seeing if it works, what that means is the money is operating as an object, not money, and therefore it's chalipin. But yet, you're saying it's a no. When does a no, bless you, when does a no apply? A no only applies to a sale, not to chalipin. So Lema Sava Rafuna, we'll say Rafuna must hold. Matbeya Naase Chalipin. So we'll say, so now watch this. The Gemara now is suggesting the only way to reconcile this, the only way to really reconcile this would be to say that we are looking at the money as money. Money is money. And Rafuna holds that in money, however, can be consigned, right? Can be consigned to the status of an object. And therefore, again, matbeya naase chalipin. I will say back to yesterday's daf. Right? I will say we entered in today with two outstanding questions. Number one, can a coin be used for the vehicle of chalipin? And number two, if the answer to that is no, can a coin be acquired? Can money be acquired with chalipin? So the Gemara suggests it must be that Rav Huna, who is the one who made the statement, Rav Huna holds matbeya naase chalipin. Money clearly can be used as the vehicle for chalipin. That's what Rav Huna holds. Tush the Gemara says, "Lo, Rav Huna savar like Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Dvar Torah." No, so the Gemara says, "No, that's actually not true. It's actually not true. This has nothing to do with matbeya nase chalipin. This is actually much more yisodist." I will say, "Watch this." Rav Huna actually feels like Rabbi Yochanan. I will say, "This is now the third time we're having this in 2 days. We're going to have it still another time today." Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Here we go. Da Amar Dvar Torah Maos Konos. So we'll say, "This is famous Rabbi Yochanan." Rabbi Yochanan is the mid-oraisa, when you pay money, that acquires the object. I will say, which by the way, is the most straightforward way at looking forward at transactional law. I go to Reuven, let's just keep this simple. I want to buy wheat. I'm using this case in just a moment. I want to buy wheat, metalkalin from Reuven. So what I've done, buying $1,000 of wheat. Reuven, here is $1,000 cash. So I'll say, Rabbi Yochanan holds midaraisa, done. I am now the proud owner of $1,000 worth of wheat. So I'll say, but yet everything we're seeing now is telling us that doesn't work. Right? Chazal stepped in and Chazal said, Maos enon konos. Umipnei ma amru mashicha kona. So I'll say, Chazal said, no, sorry, your money doesn't acquire for you the wheat. What do you need? You need to go ahead and do mashicha. Why? So the Gemara says, "Gzira shemi yomar lo nisrafu chitecha ba'aliya." So I'll say, once again, what are we concerned about? We're concerned like this. If by giving the money to Reuven, I am now the owner of the wheat. But what we're concerned about, we'll say, is as follows. If halacha l'maisa, something happens to that wheat, Reuven has absolutely no urgency in trying to salvage my property. Why? Because since I already own it, whatever loss occurs. So for example, let's say a fire breaks out in Reuven's granary. Right, so he has no. There's no vested interest for him to try to save my stuff. Not only that, if let's say again, fire breaks out at Reuven's granary, and guess what? $1,000 worth of grain is damaged. Guess what Reuven's going to tell me? Silber, I'm so sorry. So sorry for your loss. Right? But again, your grain burned. So Moses says, what did Chazal do? Chazal went ahead and said, you know what? Maos inon konos. The Moses says, what that does is, it makes the seller responsible to safeguard the object I am buying until the moment it gets to my hands. As I mentioned yesterday, it's buyer protection. So Moses says, so now watch this. So Rav Huna holds, that in reality, it was like Rabbi Yochanan. Maos konos. When you pay money for something, you acquire it. Chazal stepped in and said, no, you don't. In order to afford you buyer protection, the Rebbe said, now watch this. Milsa de shchicha gazu be'rabanan. Milsa de lo shchicha lo gazu be'rabanan. We'll say like any rabbinic enactment, Chazal only instituted it when? In common cases. But in uncommon cases, they didn't institute it. So we'll say, what does that have to do with us? Everything to do with us. This case, I will say, walking over to someone, right? I walk over to Reuven with a handful of money. I say, Reuven, sell me your sheep with these. And Reuven says, okay. I will say, that is an uncommon case, right? How does it work with money? Generally, again, we talk about a price, right? I count it. Reuven counts it. This is an uncommon case. Because it is an uncommon case, therefore, the rabbinic prohibition or rabbinic enactment does not apply. Because the rabbinic enactment does not apply, therefore what? When I go ahead and offer up the handful of money, I will say, what's the halacha? Transaction done. But not based on chalipin. Based on what? Called hard cash. Right? And the biblical concept that ma'os konos. Because the gzera doesn't apply to this case because this is an uncommon case. Incredible, I will say. We spent all of this time trying to figure out how this is a chalipin case. But in fact, it turns out that what? It's not a chalipin case. What is it? It's a money case. And now the world makes perfect sense. Why? Because now both say that it's not a chalipin case, but it's just a straight sale. Therefore, what? It makes sense when Rav Huna said that it's subject to onah. Why is it subject to onah? Both say, why? Just a straight out sale. Incredible. Amar le Mar Huna, Bered Rav Nachman, Rav Ashi, Asun hachi masni salum. So this is how you're understanding it. Ani hacha masni Allah. This is how we understand it. V'chein amar Rav Huna in matbea nase chalipin. So we'll say in our version, right? So again, we'll say that Rav Huna is on record as saying a coin cannot go ahead and be used as the vehicle for chalipin. So the Gemara says, "I bema konan." So we'll say, "So fine." So that's the end of that. So we'll say, "So bottom line, that is the end of that sugya." So we'll say, "We'll get to the halacha lemais in just a little bit." But what I just want to point out over here is the way the Gemara ends off. We'll say is that the case of Rav Huna that we started out with today is in fact not a chalipin case; it's just a money case. And even though according to Rav Nachman, normally we say, right, midoraisa maos konos. But Chazal said, ma'os einon konos, that only applies to a quote-unquote normative case, but any irregular or abnormal case, that's not going to apply, and money will in fact affect the transaction. Incredible. Okay, let me just tell you this now. So how do we paskin? Let's close out these two other cases over here. How do we paskin in terms of number one, can a coin be used? Can money be used as the vehicle for chalipin? That's number one. And number two, if money can't be used as the vehicle for chalipin, can money be acquired through chalipin? So we'll say the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. So we'll say it's a one-liner. Aval hamatbeya kishem she'im konin bo kach eno nikna bekinyan. I really wanted the Rambam to build this up like a little bit more. This is like, spend 3 days building up this. All right. And the Rambam says the same way, right? That money cannot be used as the vehicle for chalipin, so too money cannot be acquired through chalipin. That's it. Money cannot be used as the object to affect chalipin, nor can money be acquired through the kingdom of chalipin. That's it. So we'll say, just close that out. Beautiful. Now, we'll say, now we get to a great sugya. B'ma konin. So we'll say, now that we've established that money cannot be used, a coin, for example, or money, cannot be used as the vehicle for chalipin. So we'll say, so now what can be used as the vehicle for chalipin? Bama konin, on both sides, means, look at Rashi. It's almost actually right across in Rashi. Bama konin, kinyan chalipin, dechsib bikras shalaf ishnalo, mi shalaf anasa. So we'll say, so ma konin, ultimately, so we'll say, actually, what the Gemara is really asking over here is, not as much what type of utensil can be used for chalipin, but rather what the Gemara is asking is, whose utensil is used for chalipin? So this is actually quite fascinating. So Rav Amar Bekelev Shalkona. So we'll say, so now, just watch this for just a second. So let's just set this up over here. I'm going over to Ruvain, right? And so we'll say, so now, what we haven't established, by the way, is now that I know that I can't use a coin for chalipin, what I do have to answer is, what type of object can be used for chalipin? Now we'll say, I just want to frame this for you for just a second. What we're going to see over here is as follows. In Kinyan Chalipin, there are two ways to affect a transaction like this. There could be an exchange of like items. So for example, I have an ox, right? And Reuven has a donkey. And I want to exchange my ox for Reuven's donkey. So we could do a Kinyan Chalipin like that. There's also a Kinyan Chalipin where we could affect an exchange and I could use one item to affect the exchange for the other item, but they are not of similar value or similar identity at all. So I'll say that's going to be the classic case. So I give Reuven an object, Reuven acquires the object, and I acquire Reuven's, and I acquire Reuven's ox. So I'll say, so now what we're going to see is as follows, and that's also called a kinyan chalipin, also called a kinyan sudar, which we'll come to in just a moment over here. So I'll say, so now, again, we'll see all of this. So now, the Gemara is asking as follows. So actually, let me illustrate that for just a second. So for example, I used this yesterday, right? Mechiras chametz. So you come to sell your chametz. You want to give me your chametz. So we'll say, so now, I give you my pen. You lift up my pen. Now, obviously, we're not exchanging like items, right? But yet, you're taking something of mine. You're lifting it up. And essentially, by doing so, you're giving me over your chametz. So I'll say, so now, that's called the kinyan chalipin, also called the kinyan sudar. Sudar means a cloak. So what we're doing over here is, we're not exchanging like items, right? We're exchanging items, but lamaisa, again, they are very dissimilar items. Right? I'm giving you a pen that might be worth $10, and you're giving me chametz that could be worth $5,000, depending on... Just as an aside, mechiras chametz always gives you an incredible window into people's lives, right? So when you have that guy who shows up with $5,000 of liquor and $50 of groceries, like, we probably should set up an appointment after Yantiv, right? Right? But lamaisa. The Rosh says, now the shaila is. Whose utensil is used? Whose object is used to affect chalipin? So b'ma konin, Rav Amar Bekelev Shalkona. So we'll say, so Rav says, it is with the utensil of the acquirer, Bekelev Shalkona. So the necha lilakona, telehavi makne kona, kihechi deligmar veliknele. So we'll say, so for example, so therefore Rav will say, it is the person who wants to acquire, essentially like, the larger object is the one who gives over the kli to the one who's conveying ownership, because this way, again, the kona. So let me just give you an example of this. I want to go ahead and acquire Reuven's cow, but again, I'm not exchanging an ox. I'm just acquiring the cow. So I'm going to go ahead. So for example, I'm going to give him my pen, right? Reuven's going to lift up my pen. I'm going to acquire his pen. I was saying, I just want to point out, by the way, what chalipin could do sometimes, let me just throw this in here. What chalipin could do is as follows. See, we're thinking about chalipin as like a final kinyan that affects ownership and there's nothing more to do. There's another way to utilize chalipin. Let me show you. Let's say, for example, I want to acquire Reuven's cow and I want to acquire it now. Right? So I give him my pen. Reuven lifts up my pen. I acquire his cow. And I will say, I might still have to pay Reuven for the cow. In other words, my pen is not going to be enough. Obviously, I'm going to pay him $1,000. But the idea is I want to acquire ownership of the cow now. So by utilizing a kinyan chalipin, I could acquire the cow now, understanding that payment is due later on. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, whose kli is used to affect chalipin? So Rav says it is the kona. the one who is acquiring the object, he gives the kli, because it makes sense. Because this way, I'm going to acquire something from Reuven, so I want Reuven to acquire something from me, so I give him my object. That's Rav. Levi Amar Bekelev Shel Makne. Levi says, no, it's actually the one who's conveying ownership of the larger item. So for example, I want to acquire Reuven's cow. So Rav says, okay, Silber, you give Reuven an object, let Reuven acquire your object, and that way you'll acquire Reuven's. Levi says, no, it's actually Reuven who gives me an object, I acquire Reuven's object, and by acquiring Reuven's object, I also acquire his cow. Okay? We'll see the reason for that. Gemara says, "Kidabah ina lemeira." Come on, we'll see the logic for that later on. So we'll say, "You sow this thick machlokas. You sow this fundamental machlokas. Whose kli is used to affect chalipin? Is it the kona? Is it me, the one who is acquiring from Reuven, or is it Reuven, the one who is conveying ownership over to me?" Incredible. So let's go. Rava the Levi Damar Bekelev Shal Makne Haka Kani Ara Agav Glima. According to Levi, who says that it is the Kalev Shal Makne. So in other words, it's Reuven's. Reuven, right? Reuven gives me a kli. So I says, then it turns out that what? I could be acquiring land through a cloak. So also remember again, Chalipin can technically be used for karka as well. So we'll say, if that's the case, then in essence, so imagine the following scenario. Let's say I'm acquiring land from Reuven. So we'll say, so for example, what that would mean is, now Reuven's, so that's according to Levi, who says that Chalipin is accomplished through the utensil of the Makna, the one who's conveying ownership. I'm purchasing land from Reuven and I want to acquire it now. So Reuven gives me his handkerchief. I lift up his handkerchief, and with his handkerchief, I acquire his land. So we'll say, so that means now that what? Real property is being acquired on the back of or through movable property. The problem is we don't have that principle. Imkein, havelei nechazim sheish lanachrayis, niknim im nechazim sheim lanachrayis, va'anan ipchatran. Rabbi said, we learned only the opposite is true, that nechazim sheim lanachrayis, niknim im nechazim sheish lanachrayis. Rabbi said, we know that's not the case. We hold that movable property can be acquired by dint of or on the back of movable property. Sorry, that movable property can be acquired on the back of or by dint of real property. But the reverse is not true. So how could it be that according to Levi, potentially, I could acquire Reuven's land by lifting up his handkerchief? Armer lei ihava Levi hacha, if Levi was here, hava mapik la'apach pulsa denura. He would literally, again, shoot beams of light, beams of fire at you. In other words, he would be displeased. He would be mildly displeased, right? In other words, we'll say that's actually, Pulsa din Rabba, as Rashi points out, is Lashon of Cherim. He would put you, he would excommunicate you. Me savas glima makni leib. So I'll say, do you think that according to Levi, it's the handkerchief that actually conveys ownership? And I was about to say, in Levi's logic, so let's go, right? According to Levi, Levi says that it is the one conveying ownership. It is the Makne who gives over the object. So I was about to say, so just to play this out, I want to acquire something from Reuven. So according to Levi, what happens over here is Reuven gives me his handkerchief. I lift up his handkerchief and I acquire the object. How does that work? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you how it works. Bahi hano to kamakabel mine gamar va'akmine. So we'll say, now watch this. Really what happens is like this. Reuven is honored that I am acquiring something from him. So with the Hana, so therefore when Reuven gives me over his handkerchief and I acquire it, my willingness to acquire something from Reuven generates a sense of goodwill. Because it generates a sense of goodwill, that goodwill is what causes Reuven to give over ownership of the object to me. So Rabbi say, the handkerchief that he's giving, that's just the goodwill mechanism. Now we have a relationship. Once you have a relationship, then he feels confident conveying ownership of the object to me. So both say, so what comes out over here is a fundamental machlokas, that's the mechanics of chalipin. So we have Rav. Rav says, chalipin is an act of exchange. And therefore, again, halacha lemaaseh, what happens? I want to acquire Reuven's cow. So what do? I give Reuven my handkerchief, right? Reuven lifts up my handkerchief, and I both say, what happens? Boom, I acquire the cow. Done. Again, I may be required to pay later on, but the point is, I own the cow right now. Levi says, no, that's not how it works. I want to acquire Reuven's cow. Reuven gives me a handkerchief. I lift it up, and with that hanaf, and the fact that goodwill, that is incurred by me acquiring something of Reuven's, now Reuven wholeheartedly conveys ownership of the cow over to me. Incredible. Incredible. What was I? This is like Dvarma Om de Murama Sha'olam. This is Khalipin is one of the most used kinyanim that we used. Again, at least once here in Mechiras Chametz. And I will say at least, well, hopefully at least once in your, not at least once, hopefully once in your life when you get married. Right? In other words, I will say, so Lamaise, again, we're going to see this. This is how we do Ksuva. So watch this. Ketanai. The Gemara says the truth is, the mechanics of Chalipin is a Machlokes Tanai. I will say, first wide line. Fizos lifnim b'Yisrael, ala gu'ula v'ala tmura, l'kayim kol davar, shalaf ish na'lo, v'nasal n'ra'ehu. Okay, so I will say, now watch this. The Makar, Berichter mentioned this on Shabbos, the Makar, the source for Kinyan Chalipin, ultimately again, is Megillas Rus. What happens in Megillas Rus, right? So Rus comes to Boaz, and again, that's the whole amazing episode in the Megillah where she lays down by his feet at night. So what happens? She comes to him and essentially says, you need to redeem me. Now the way it worked was, now what does it mean to redeem her? So remember again, there was no Yibum because he's not a direct, he's not a brother of her deceased husband. But there was a concept of Geula. What Geula said was, if you redeemed the property of a deceased relative, part of that was you also married his widow. So she comes over to Boaz, she says, redeem me. Boaz says, okay, but there is a closer relative than I am. So what does Boaz need to do? Boaz needs to acquire essentially the right of redemption from the closer relative, or acquire the property from the closer relative. So Boaz says, so what happens? This is what it means. V'zos lifnim b'Yisrael. This was an old statute in Klal Yisrael. Ala gu'ula v'ala tmura. For the redemption, for the exchange. L'kayim kol davar. We'll see what all this means. To uphold all things. Shalaf ishnalo v'nasal n'ra'eyu. A person would take off his shoe and give it to his friend. What is going on over here? So we will say, watch this. Geula, zumechira. So geula refers to a sale. V'cheinu omer, lo yigal. Temura, what's temura? Zuchalipin. We'll say, temura refers to the concept of chalipin. V'cheinu omer, so to it says, lo yachlifenu, v'lo yamiro. So, l'kayim kol davar, shalof ish nalo, v'nasan re'ehu. So we'll say, so now, watch this. After the pasuk talks about chalipin, right? Chalipin, then what does it say? How is chalipin affected? I will say, you would take off your shoe and give it to your fellow. And I will say, this is incredible, right? Why, right? The shoe is a kli. The shoe is a utensil. So what happens? One party would take off his shoe and give to his fellow. What's the problem? What doesn't the pasuk tell me? What doesn't the pasuk tell me? Who's giving the shoe to who? So we'll say, now watch this. Mi nasan l'mi, Boaz nasan l'goel. So we'll say, so bepashtus Boaz. Now, we'll say, who's Boaz? Boaz is the one who wants to acquire the property. Right? So Boaz gave it to the redeemer. So Boaz is the Kona, he's the acquirer. Boaz gives it to the Kona, right? The Kona lifts up, right? Or I should say the Makna, right? The other guy, we'll call him. The other guy lifts up the shoe and Boaz acquires the property. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Goel nasan leBoaz. No, not true, the Goel. The other guy gave his shoe to Boaz. So Boaz says, here's the Machlokas. So Rabbi says, the Machlokas Rav and Levi is ultimately, again, a Machlokas, Rav Yehuda and, Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Good. So Tana, Konim Bikli, Afa Pishem Moshar Puta. So Rabbi says, okay, so now, that's the end of that, right? So Rabbi says, so now, fundamental Machlokas, whose utensil do we use? What we call the Caliph Shalkona, the one acquiring, or ultimately, again, the Makna, the one giving over. So that's the fundamental Machlokes. Good. We'll say, hold that. The Gemara doesn't have resolution with it. We'll get the resolution in Meretz Hashem. Next, Tana, Konam Bikli, Afal Pisha in Boshava Pruta. Okay, we'll say this is fascinating. So now we know that Chalipin could be affected, I will say, with the utensil, even though the utensil being used to affect the Kinyan doesn't have a value that matches the item being acquired. So what says, now to take this to the extreme, the Braisa says over here, you could utilize a kli, even if the kli is not worth a pruta. Wow. Amar Rav Nachman, lo shana ela b'kli. That's only true if you're actually using a utensil. Aval b'piri lo. But ultimately, again, not true with produce. Now, so we're going to see Rav Nachman in general holds that a pri, right, produce cannot be used to affect chalipin, only a kli. only a kli. Rav Sheshe says afilu beperos. Rav Sheshe says no, you can even go ahead and affect chalipin, even with peros, even with merchandise or fruit. So the Gemara says my time with Rav Nachman. People say, why does Rav Nachman hold that peros cannot be used as the vehicle to affect chalipin? Amar kra na'alo. Because we'll say, remember again, where is chalipin learned out from? Boaz and Rus. What did Boaz use? What was used? A shoe. The Rebbe says, I want to point out, a shoe is a kli. Why is a shoe a kli? Because again, we'll say, a shoe has a receptacle in it. Right? So therefore, by definition, a shoe is a kli. So na'al, in midi achrini lo, you could use a na'al, or it doesn't literally mean you just have to use a shoe, but it means you could use something like a shoe, which is a kli, but nothing else. So my time to Rav Sheshe, that's what Rav Sheshe says, logic, that you could even use peros. So the Gemara says, Amar kra l'kayim kol davar. As well, said the pasuk says to uphold all things. So, what does all things mean? That you could even use merchandise or payrolls to affect chalipin. Rav Nachman nami haksiv lekayim kol davar. Aye, Rav Nachman, who says you can only use a kli, you can't use payrolls. What do you do with kol davar? So the Gemara says hahi hahu lekayim kol davar dniknin b'minal. What that means, Rav Nachman says, it means that you could acquire anything with chalipin. That's what it means, right? But for the object actually being used to affect chalipin, has to be a kli. But once you're using a kli, you could acquire anything you want with chalipin. Rav Sheshes nami haksiv na'alo. What does Rav Sheshes do with na'alo shu? Amun lecha Rav Sheshes, ma na'alo davar hamasuyam, af kol davar hamasuyam. Rav Sheshes says, just like a na'alo is something complete, right, whole, so too you can only use something whole to affect chalipin. La fuke chatzi rimon vechatzi egos delo. To exclude, I will say, you cannot use a half a pomegranate or a half a nut in order to affect chalipin. Okay? I'm Rav Sheshe, Rav Vidi, keman kasuay. So we'll say, so the point is very, very exciting. So we'll say, so now watch this. So we have two outstanding machloksim over here. Number one, I will say, let's go out of order actually. Number one is, what can be used to affect chalipin? Right, so this is machlokis. Machlokis, ultimately, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshe. Rav Nachman, only a kli. Rav Sheshe, essentially, even peros, anything. That's machlokis one. Machlokis two, Rabbi Osei, is whose utensil are you using to affect chalipin? Ultimately, again, Rav says the kli of the kona, the one who's acquiring, and Rav Sheshe, and Levi, ultimately, again, the kli of the makna, the one who's conveying. Okay, so those are the two that are open. So we'll say, now watch this. It's very exciting. So today, contemporarily, in accordance with who, do we use the following lashon? The Gemara says, "Bemana dekasha lemikne bay." So we'll say, by the way, if this lashon sounds familiar, this is lashon of a ksuva. Of a ksuva. Now, the truth is, the Gemara over here does not actually mean to only make this lashon of a ksuva. This was actually the lashon, ultimately, again, of other documents and transactions. So the Gemara says, we write b'mana dekasha lemikne bay, that this transaction is ultimately again being done b'mana with an object dekasha lemikne bay, which is fit to ultimately again for transactional use. So we'll say b'mana lafuki min Rav Sheshes da amar konin beperos. So we'll say b'mana means that we pass like Rav Nachman. We pass like Rav Nachman. That in order to go ahead and affect chalipin, you need a kli. You need a kli. Mana means a kli. So to exclude the position of Rav Sheshes, that you could use anything. Dikasher, that is fit. Lafuki midishmuel. The Amar Konin, Abosai Amar Beis. The Amar Konin bimeruka. Shmuel holds Abosai that you could even use a utensil. This is actually interesting. They used to apparently make utensils out of dried cow dung. It's a nice housewarming gift, right? Yeah. So according to Shmuel, which essentially means that you could use anything. So I'll say, so therefore again, Bimana teaches me you need a kli. You need a kli, not peros, like Rav Nachman. Number two, the kasher, ultimately, again, it has to have some level of value to go ahead and exclude the position of Shmuel that you could use a dung kli. Lemikne, to acquire. La fuki mi de levi de amar bekelev shal makna. Hamash malon le mekanya velo le knuyebe. Incredible. So I will say, le mikne means that what? You're using it to acquire, which means whose utensil is being used? It is the acquirer's utensil and not the makna. So I will say, so to go ahead and ultimately again, hold that we paskin like Rav and not like Levi. So we'll say, from that entire Lashon, we sum up this entire sugya. Number one, like Rav Nachman, in order to affect Chalipin, you need a Kli. Number two, the Kli has to have some basic unit of value, right? Even if it's just a pruta. And number three, it is the utensil of the acquirer. Kalev shel kona, that is being used for Chalipin, not Kalev shel makna. Incredible, incredible. Rav Papa says, Leni ute makdea. Rav Papa says, by the way, this lashon also comes to exclude the use of a coin. Now, we have already done that, but the Ma'aseh say again, that it has to be a Kli and not a makdea. Ultimately, again, comes to exclude the use of Isurei Hana. You can't use anything that is prohibited from benefit to affect Chalipin. Very interesting. Ikadami, others say Bey. The Lashon of Bey in that tak, right? Bemana, the Kasha, the Mikne, Bey with it. This comes to exclude the use of a coin. The Kasha, Amrav Zvid Vitim Ravashi. That comes to the Isurei Hana. Ava Morika lo itzrich. Rabbi Osei, you don't even have to include Morika. Why didn't you have to include Morika? Because Rabbi Osei, a dung utensil is so not chashev that everyone would agree that it cannot be used. Therefore, Rabbi Osei, if we kind of sum this up, it's incredible. So therefore, Allah Chalamaisa, Rav Nachman, you have to use a kli for Chalipin. Number two, the kli has to have at least a shavar pruta value. And number three, it is kalev shel kona. We use the utensils of the one who is acquiring, not the Kalev Shel Makna. Incredible. I will say we have another minute or two. Let's go weiter. Asimon Kona Samadbea. So we'll say, remembering it back to the Mishnah. Asimon, which is an unminted coin, could go ahead and acquire Madbea, another coin. So my Asimon, what's an Asimon? Amarav, Maos Hanitanos Besimula Besamerchat. So Rav says, this is interesting. So I will say, so an Asimon is the coin that was used for entry into the bathhouse. I will say, they used to have coins, right? You would purchase bathhouse coins. Well, Rashi says, what was the point of the bathhouse coins? You would give them to the bathhouse attendant. This was like the counter. This way, the bathhouse attendant would know how many people in the bathhouse. And Rashi points out, he would know how much water he used and how many towels. It's interesting, I will say. So apparently, again, entry into the Talmudic bathhouses gave you a towel. About a robe, slippers, a towel. Right? So my says, so this way again, that's the token. So the Gemara says, is that true? Meisrei, ein mechalim meisrei sheni al asimon v'lo av ma'oz hanitanos b'sula beis amerchatz. You know, so over here, the Brisa seems to indicate, right, you can't redeem meisrei sheni on an asimon or on bathhouse coins. So what do you see from here? That asimon and bathhouse coins are two separate things. Mechlal da asimon lav ma'oz hanitanos b'sula beis amerchatz. V'chitema, Perushe Kamefarish, maybe the Bryce is just explaining itself. In other words, maybe it's saying Asimon. And what is an Asimon? It's the bathhouse coins, Vahalotanaki, right? So we didn't learn this way. After all, what does it say? Mechalin Maeser Sheni al Asimon, Divrei Rabbi Dosa. Right? Rabbi Dosa says you can redeem Maeser Sheni even on an Asimon. The Chum say, Ein Mechalalin. Chum say, no, you can't. The Shavin Shein Mechalalin Amos Hanitanos Besimon Beis Amerchas. But everyone agrees that you cannot redeem Maaser Sheni on bathhouse coins. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my Asimon pulsa. What is an Asimon? Asimon is a pulsa. Rashi says, Mechaser Tzura. It is an unminted coin, a slug, an unminted coin. Rabbi Yochanan, that is an Asimon. So as we saw in the Mishnah, an Asimon, Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't have the status of Kesef, rather it has the status of merchandise. Va'az Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. And Rabbi Yochanan goes right to his reasoning. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Dos, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Dosa Adam, and Rabbi Dosa, we just mentioned before, Rabbi Shmuel, Mahi, Desanya, Bitzarta HaKesef, Biyadecha, Lerabos, Kol Davar Hanitz Dar Biyad, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, anything you can hold in your hand can be used for money for Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Lerabos, Kol Davar Shiyesh Alav Tzura. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the only thing that can be used for Maaser Sheni redemption, Rabbi Osa, is what? Only an item that ultimately is minted. Right, but if it doesn't have a surf, if it doesn't have an edge, it can't be used for Maaser Sheni. We'll say, bottom line, Asimon is an unminted coin. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, it can be used as for Chalipin because it has the status of merchandise in that money. But we'll say, absolutely incredible. Shkoyach. All right, Chevron Zuma, have a great day, everyone.